welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And my guest today, when she's able to call in, is Judy Marin of Portland, Oregon. And she is with a new organization called Replete We Fly. That's a newly formed nonprofit educational healing arts organization. And she is going to be talking about their second annual Healing Arts Fair and fundraising event. And until then, y'all are just stuck with me because I don't know what happened to her. So Dawn will put her in as soon as she calls us, and hopefully that will be today. And if not, then we'll just kind of ramble. So in the meantime, if you have any questions, please do call in. And our call-in number is 1-877-876-5227. And again, that number is 1-877-876-5227. And as most of my listeners know, I don't have any problem talking for an hour. So I will make something up if Judy's unable to join us. But what I did promise to do for this organization is to kind of do their little press release. This is an event that's going to be going on September 22nd and 23rd. On the 22nd, it's going to be 7 to 8 p.m. On the 23rd, it's 10 a.m. to dusk. And this is going to be at 8725 Northeast Broadway Street in Portland, Oregon. So if you are going to be in that area, you might want to check this out and put it on your calendar. You can see what's going on their website at rainbow.healing.com. And no, this is not a gay organization. This is Rainbow Awareness, which is alternative healing arts. And when Judy comes on, she'll talk more about the hows and whys and all that stuff. Also, you can contact Judy directly at 503-288-8369 or email her at j_Marin@msn.com. And again, the contact phone number is 503-288-8369. The tickets are going to be $11 per person, children under 10 free, and the proceeds are going to benefit the organization entitled Replete We Fly. That's R-E-P-L-E-T-E, and then we and fly. And there is a drawing at the day's end, so you can visit the event website, or in the Portland area, you can go to New Renaissance Books, Jambo World Crafts on Hawthorne, or Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces for the advanced ticket sales. They are suggesting that you carpool or use public transit. And I'm going to hold off on telling you the rest of it. I do have an ad version here that I could read off, but I'd kind of like to have Judy tell you about it herself, so hopefully she'll be able to join us. And in the meantime, for those of you that are regular listeners, you know that I enjoy playing in the holographic projector room. And, of course, I have been doing that a lot lately, and it's been very interesting. One of the things that I found with talking with our good friend Steve Barish in New York, who you may remember as the first guy who put up four projectors in his healing room and started playing around with them and discovering what they could do, we discovered that if you turn the projectors once they are in place, then you might have a problem. You might increase the negativity. So we're strongly suggesting that you don't go beyond the 15-degree point that Steve had suggested at one point. I have mine at a 15-degree clockwise turn at this point, and it did increase the energy quite a bit. And that increases your healing energy. For those of you who are interested in obtaining one of these systems, then, of course, you can contact me or Steve or Dr. Bell, and we'd be happy to tell you what we know so far. And those of you that are regular listeners are aware that I did a study on these projectors and found out that they caused healing on all levels in every single person. And all I did was put them in the room for 15 minutes once a week for 8 weeks, and they decided what they wanted to do. Now, I've noticed as a healer that when I go in that room and I'm in the beam of the projectors, it's quite an enlightening experience for me as well as for the patient. One of the things that that I noticed, and I think I mentioned it on one of the previous shows, is that there was kind of an exorcism that happened that I had no idea was going to happen. So it was kind of interesting. And, you know, the main thing is, like they say in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, don't panic. So if something like that should happen to you when you're doing these things, the key thing is to remain at peace and calm within your own self, within your heart, and to not let anything rob you of joy, and just kind of observe what's going on. And so for me, it was kind of interesting, you know, having had other exorcism experiences throughout my life, and, you know, I've kind of dabbled in a lot of things, and this was very gentle. And since then, I've noticed that there is another face in the crystal that's in the room. And what I did was I obtained a tourmaline from Peru that Dr. Bell had, and we noticed that there was a warrior spirit within that crystal. And apparently he was talking to quite a few of the sensitive people that went in there. And so he told us his name and everything. Well, I just went in there today and looked in there. There's another face in there. Now, I haven't figured out who that is yet. So if you're sensitive and you're getting who it is, let me know. I haven't really had time to make my acquaintance. But there's a definite second face in the crystal now, which is kind of interesting. And, you know, we're talking a crystal that's about a foot and a half by at least a foot wide, and it's kind of diamond-shaped and or kite-shaped, and it sits in the corner of the healing room and acts as a negative eraser. And I also have set up in my office one of these star orbs that Dr. Bell recommends. And if any of you have some of Dr. Bell's items and you didn't get a star orb or a Devastar orb, you might want to consider getting one, because, you know, when you increase the energy a lot, which is what happens with these devices, then it's like doing oriental medicine. When you increase the yin, you automatically increase the yang and vice versa. So if you're going to increase the positive energy in your area, you're also going to automatically increase the negative, and then you have to figure out how to deal with it. So it can give you a crash course in dealing with negativity. For myself, I decided that since Dr. Bell kind of knows how these things work, and his suggestion is to put up a star orb, I thought that would probably be a good idea. And on top of that, then I got the crystal, which takes negative energy from people and situations and kind of collects it there so that it doesn't get stuck on anybody else. And then we go in and we cleanse the room and cleanse the crystal and all that stuff, sometimes on a daily basis. Usually you just have to do it once a week. Depends on how busy you are and how deep the negativity goes, what kind of negativity it is. If there's people that come into the room that are working on getting rid of cancer or some kind of fatal type disease, then, yeah, you'd probably have to clean it right after that person. We do a general cleansing of the room between each person anyway. But just in case you were wondering, I thought I would mention that. And this new face that's in there is kind of interesting. And, you know, I've called in the angels and said, listen, if that's not supposed to be there, then get it out. So now, I haven't talked to Steve about this yet, so I'll have to call Steve and say, hey, who is that in my crystal? So it's just another of the ongoing fascinating things that happen when you really delve into the other parts of life that most people tend to ignore. And since this is an enlightened medicine show, you might wonder what this has to do with anything, and as usual, I'm going to tell you. It has a lot to do with your health. Every part of life, everything that you go through, directly affects your health. And even though you don't realize it, mental and emotional things will affect your physical body, and sometimes it's a cumulative effect. You know, sometimes you take a few hits every day, and then eventually something happens, and you go, wow, that came out of the blue. How did that happen? Well, it really happened from a combination of your thinking, from a combination of shock, from hurts, things like that, that get stuck in your body. And if you've heard me talk about holographic memory resolution, then you know that things do get stuck in our bodies at T-1, which is the 1 second before the trauma occurred. And a trauma can be something very, very simple, anything that scares you. And as a little child, you might remember there were many, many things that scared us and worried us and just caused all kinds of difficulties for us. And we look back now and we say, ah, well, that was nothing. I was just a kid. Well, guess what? It's still stuck in you. Unless you've actively done something to get it out of there, that memory and the trauma associated with it is still inside of you, in your body, and it's affecting every part of your life. Now, how do I get rid of this, you might ask? There are many ways that you can get rid of these things. and I have done a good portion of them myself, as many of my listeners have. We are on a constant path of reconstruction and of enlightenment. And in order to go up further, by the way, on the enlightenment ladder, you do need to rid yourself of these traumas. They will hold you back. They're like a big boulder that you keep stubbing your toe on and falling up against, and you can't get beyond a certain point until you clear these things out of your space, whether that's deep within your body or just on the tip of your auric field or, you know, just a tiny thought somewhere in the back of your brain. These things are very, very important. So one of the reasons why I got into using Dr. Bell's devices is because they help to kind of give you the quantum leap so that you can get through these things very quickly. And yes, I do sell these devices at my office. And, you know, we do muscle testing and everything to make sure that you're getting the correct device and that you're not short-circuiting yourself and all the other kinds of lovely things that people try to do. And I mentioned that because I've seen a lot of healers and teachers here in Sedona and elsewhere self-destruct. I've watched them go into ego. I've watched them go into spaces that they are going to have a hard time recovering from. And you see this most commonly with people that do channelings. Now, I'm not saying channelings are all bad. I mean, there are great works that have been brought through because people allow themselves to be used as the channel for the creation to come through. I'm just saying that if you are a channeler, be very cautious, because what happens is the information that you get at first is 100% accurate. And then you start believing in it, and everybody's going, wow, you're great. You know, this is awesome. You've got the connection. And then pretty soon it's 95% truth and 5% false. And then you're being fed things that kind of get you more into it, and you go, wow, this is fantastic. Look at all this information. I'm really helping people. And then pretty soon it's 90% truth and 10% false. Well, by the time you get to the 50-50 point and below, you are usually hopelessly ensnared, because now it's become your identity. And if you look around, you may see people who have been doing channelings of these supposed ascended beings. And maybe they were when they started out. And, you know, now, years later, they're not. And you can tell because there's so much ego involved. Now, we talked about ego a couple shows ago. Ego does not mean your personality. Ego is something that's a subset of your personality. You can still have your personality without being egotistical. So, you know, there's a fine line there. So I'm not saying all channelers are bad. Far from the truth. I mean, you know, many, many people are really channels for the truth and the light. And those are the people that we want to uplift, and we want to celebrate that they are allowing this to happen so that we may all be elevated. I'm just saying, watch out for the ones that have crossed into the untruth area. And as an aside about the projector room, one of the things I noticed is people that come in here that do channelings are usually the ones that can't stand to be in that room. And these are the ones I'm talking about that are kind of off. You know, they haven't fixed their lives yet. And, you know, they've kind of gotten stuck in the whole egotistical part of this. The people who are clear channels love the room. They come in and they have even more clear channeling than they normally do. It's so much easier. They see beings. They talk with them. You know, it's a completely different thing. The other people come in and say, ah, well, you know, I don't have to do that. I've been there, done that. And you just kind of look at them and go, yeah, right. I've seen that happen a few times since we've put this room in. So all I'm saying is be cautious. Be sure that what you're getting is the truth. And you know when something is the truth because it will ring true within you. And it's not that it makes you feel important. That's anytime you get the ego function into it, then you know that there's something you have to be cautious of. It's rather that it rings true within you and your heart gives a little leap of joy. That's when you know it's true. Or if you get what I call the soul zap, you know, where you get that shiver that goes down your spine and then it just kind of goes out into your whole body. That's how you know it's truth. So just be cautious with that. And the reason I'm talking about that on a medicine show is because I've seen people truly cross over into the realm of craziness, which then may require that they get on medication. I've watched people become physically ill because their energy has been drained by these entities that have sapped their strength, basically. So, you know, we're in a time right now where we have to be so discerning. We have to be so cautious to make sure that what we're hearing and dealing with is the truth and the light. And, you know, we read it, but people think it doesn't apply to them because they think they're small fish. And nothing could be further from the truth. The truth is we are each important. Each one of us is so vital to everything that we have to do here. And each one of us has to be able to discern the truth at all times. So it's up to you. And as usual, you're going to hear me talk about this more. I've seen too many people fall by the wayside with this. So people, please be careful. And, you know, I hesitate to recommend people, you know, to go to a certain astrologer or to go to a channeler or anything like that, because what you really need to do is be whole and have that connection with truth within yourself. Doesn't mean that you can't go and have someone help you if you're just not quite sure. And I kind of recommend that too. I've done that for years. I look for someone that I know is clear, and I go and talk with them, because the ego is always waiting to get you. It's always waiting to make you feel like you're more important or less important. It's always waiting to make you feel like you've got the truth and the only truth, or you don't have any truth at all. So, you know, I kind of look at everything that comes my way, and I ask myself in my heart, is this true? If I have any questions at all, if I have an action that I have to take that's upsetting me, then I'll go talk to one of my friends or colleagues who is clear, because I recognize at that point, if I'm having that little conference in my head, you know, the conference, you know, where there's all these little voices coming in and saying this and that and the other, if you're having that going on, then you're not clear. So I will go and I will ask someone to help me at that point, and I'll just ask them for their impression, and then I'll ask them why they have that impression, and then I'll tell them what's going on. And I find that when I do that, and I ask also for guidance from my higher self and from the angels or your guides or whatever you want to call them, as I always say, don't get hung up on the semantics. There are beings that are there to help us and beings that are there to hinder us. So I try to make sure I'm calling in the ones that are there to help me for my highest good and then go from there. So every time that I have to make an important decision, or I have to come to some kind of an agreement with something and I'm having a hard time, that's when I become really, really quiet. And let me explain to you why this is so important. You know, there's the obvious reason that you want to get the right answer. You don't want to keep stubbing your toe on that boulder. But here's a subtler thing. If you allow untruth to exist within your body at any level, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, etheric, celestial, intuitional, intellectual, whatever body, if you let untruth reside there, it will spawn more untruth. It attracts to it the untruth, which will then delay you more, which will then cause further problems in your life, and then you'll be wondering what happened. So it's vitally important for your health on all levels to be able to see the truth, to feel the truth, and to seek the truth. And, you know, the great wisdom is that the truth is within, and that God is within each one of us. Yes, even the nasty ones, even the ones that are so awful that we vilify them because they're just horrible people. Well, it's actually the things that they have done that have been horrible. But they've gone through their life and they've accepted untruths. And here's how that happens. If you look at someone like Hitler, who had a difficult childhood, felt lonely and unloved, or any of the kids that committed the atrocities, and you know, like at Columbine, or the ones who took the planes and ran them into the buildings at the World Trade Center. All of these people started out to be perfect little sparks of God. We each have that spark of divinity within us. And somewhere along the road, they had one thing after another that happened to them that turned their brains into an unhealthy way of thinking. And then, of course, there are all those beings around them that were trying to lead them astray. And, you know, maybe it was past life stuff that allowed them to be more susceptible to that. But remember, we always have a choice. And so if you're out there listening and you think that your life is screwed up and that there's no way that you could possibly fix it other than suicide or going out and shooting a bunch of people and then having them shoot you or anything like that, or driving the car off the cliff, or, you know, trying to hit the bad guys and take yourself out at the same time. And yes, I've actually heard of somebody that had that plan. You know, if you're anywhere near that kind of state of mind, then please listen carefully. And please understand that anything can be changed. Anything. But what you have to first do is you must first decide that you want change. And it's you that has to make the decision. It doesn't come from outside of you. If your life is miserable and you want change, you're the only one that can make it happen. So let's go a little into how that happens. And let me offer the hope to you also. One of the things that we found with the projectors is that they leapfrog you. You go beyond karma, beyond the obstacles that the hidden negative beings are trying to trip you up with. And you are standing in an arena of pure white light where your desires and your needs and your wants are all known, and your potential and your mission. All of that is known. And you there have the beings that are your healing team. They're your team to help you through this life. So when you're in that type of a light, things become much more clear. And one of the things that I've noticed with the room that's been my great privilege to notice is that when people go in there and say, this is how I decide my life is now, then it becomes that. And if it's really big, it's not going to become that overnight. Well, it could, I guess, but maybe we doubt too much. I don't know. But normally, if it's something little, it'll happen fairly quickly. And people think that it's the room that causes that. And I say that it's not the room itself that causes it, but it's rather that the light that is brought through that room then helps you to a point of clarity. And you will find that no matter what your situation is, no matter how ill you are, no matter how broke you are, how disgusted, how alone, how deformed, how old, how young, no matter where you are in life, everything can change in an instant. It's like that saying, you know, the longest journey becomes with a single step. So take that step. It's up to you. But you can do it. You can change things. You know, you don't have to work in a fast food place all of your life. You don't have to be brilliant to move on into something better. You just have to want it. And then you have to take the action to do it. And I see so many people that are so lost. And they know that they're meant for something greater. And yet they feel like they're stuck. And if I can do anything for you through this radio program, the best thing that I can do is tell you the truth. And the truth is that you are an incredible multidimensional being. You are a piece of God. God moves through you. And you are on the way to becoming even more. And this life that we have is a great gift. And yeah, it's the Matrix, yada, yada, yada. Most of us know it's the Matrix. It's okay. It's the greatest game in the universe. And aren't we having fun? You know, have fun in your misery. I mean, when I get really mad and I'm crying and I'm desperate and I'm on my knees yelling at God, the next minute I'm laughing like a lunatic because I step outside and I look at myself. Oh, boo-hoo. Oh, look. Oh, my life just doesn't work. How many times have we all done that? And yet, you know, when you put it in perspective, when you look at it from, say, 20 years past, and you look at that moment that you were in despair and that you didn't understand, in that moment, it's nothing. It's a drop in the ocean. But feel it. Wallow in it for a little while. You know, have a good time. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to cry. It's okay to scream at the universe. Sometimes you have to do that to get their attention. But the main thing is move through it and get some clarity. Get real clarity on what you want. Get real clarity on your direction. And look inside your heart and ask yourself truthfully, what would make me happy? What would bring me joy in the most moments of my life? And if you don't know that, why don't you know that? You know, sit down for 20 minutes and write down the things that you know would bring you joy. And no, don't put down $1 million. That's the first thing everybody says. Oh, if I had $1 million, I'd pay this and I'd pay that and all my problems would be gone. Well, no, they wouldn't, because everywhere you go, there you are. The only thing that brings you joy is your decision to live your life, to truly live your life. And that's the healthiest thing that you can do. And if you don't like where you're living, if you don't like the work that you're doing, if you don't like who you are in this moment, change it. Who the hell else is going to change it? You know, I can tell you I've had a lot of incredible, miraculous experiences in my life, but I have yet to have God come along and bonk me on the head with the magic wand and change everything instantly to exactly the way I said I wanted it. So if you're waiting for that, let me tell you, that doesn't happen. At least as far as I know, it doesn't happen. But you can have profound, life-changing experiences. You can have things that happen to you that wake you up enough that you get some clarity. And you suddenly turn around and go, oh, man, what have I been doing? I can't do this anymore. Now, this can make you healthier, or attaining the state of health can bring you to that. And to illustrate that, let me give you an example. I had a patient years ago, beautiful girl, who was a dancer, exotic dancer. Absolutely gorgeous. She got into it because she really lost her self-esteem. She had a bad relationship, was not treated correctly, ended up with HPV, which is a virus that causes cervical cancer. And just basically felt that she was worthless. Well, she came in, she wanted naturopathic treatment, and so we started working together. And at one point, just through nutrition, just through detoxing and changing her nutritional status and getting her to a healthier basis, all of a sudden, she shifted, which I found really interesting, because it's usually kind of the other way around. But this time, this happened with the health. All of a sudden, the cells in her body were so much healthier that she couldn't do that job anymore. And she came in, and the poor thing was broken out all over her body. And she said, oh, my God, I can't go into work like this. You know, I have zits everywhere. What's happening? I said, relax. This is the way it's supposed to be. You're kicking out toxins, and this is a good thing. And so we continued to work on it. And over the next few weeks, she came in, and she said, you know, I can't do that job anymore. She said, I just can't. She said, I'm going to miss the money. But she said, I don't want to be in that atmosphere. I can't do the job. She said, I don't want to look at those faces anymore. And to me, that was a great light. That was incredible, because she got clarity. Now, if going in and being an exotic dancer is something that you love to do, okay, fine. Have a great time. It's your life. You know, whatever you want to do, whatever you came to do in this life, is your thing. It's not up to someone else to decide. It's only up to you. And whatever it is that gives you the greatest joy in your heart and helps you to feel elevated, to feel lifted, to feel that connection with the divine oneness, that's what's yours to do. And that's whatever you want. There really is no limit. You know, I had a teacher years ago that used to say, know your limits. And instead of K-N-O-W, he would write it N-O, know your limits. And I say the same thing. When people start telling you that you're this or that, or you can't do this or that, don't listen to them. Only you know what you're capable of doing. Now, maybe you need to take a few steps. You know, if you're deciding that you want to be a brain surgeon, you're not going to make the decision and wind up in neurosurgery the next day cutting somebody's head open. So you're going to have to take a few steps to get there. So the first step, though, is clarity. And increased clarity will bring you increased health. It will certainly bring you increased happiness, which is probably how you get the increased health. And no matter what station you're at in life, no matter what's going on, no matter how horrible things seem in the world, it's still your life. You decide what you're going to do. Don't allow the people around you to bring you down. Now, I'm not saying this in a Pollyanna-ish state. I'm saying be real. You know, don't ignore the things that are going on, but only deal with what you have to deal with. You know, it's not your responsibility to deal with every single little thing that's shown on the news. Maybe there's something you can help with. Only you know that. But it is your responsibility to live your life to the fullest. It is your responsibility to make sure that whatever you're going to do, you do it 100%. And you know that phrase in the Bible where it says, God says that he will spit out those who are lukewarm? In other words, get off the fence, go one way or the other. Just commit to something. Commit to being who you really are, to being the best that you can be. And Lord only knows where our world would be if everybody would take that to heart. If I could just infuse some of that into every listener and into all of your friends and acquaintances, if you could pass it on, if we could all do that around the world, you know, we could have change now. And I talked with Dr. Bell about this as far as the projectors go. And some of you that have listened before know that one of my goals is to get as many of these rooms around the world as possible so that we can help people to go in and have the enlightenment experience, to go in and be moved a leap closer to who they really are, to take the masks off. Because, you know, we don't really have all the time that we used to. It used to be you could spend your entire life meditating and praying and you know, living the type of life that would bring you to enlightenment in a few lifetimes. We don't have that luxury anymore. You know, we're about to make the huge leap. And it's time. And now I can't remember if I talked about this on another show. I might have. So forgive me if you've listened to it before. But I was watching Nova, and they had a special on string theory. And they were talking about the membranes, and perhaps what we are is our universe, our world, is on the edge of a membrane of a string. And the strings are all around us vibrating at these incredible speeds. And depending on where you are on the string, or what string you're on, that's going to tell you what your dimension is. So as I watched that, I thought, huh, what if the leap every 26,570 years or whatever it is, what if that leap comes when another string vibrates on past ours and another world that's on the edge of the membrane of that string just happens to smack up against ours? What if that's the leap? What if when we do that, the reason that we have an enlightenment experience for the entire planet, and indeed the entire universe, is because we're moving from a lower vibrating string to a higher vibrating string in an instant? That's like, wow, you know, how exciting is that? So I don't know, you know, I mean, I love this quantum physics stuff, but I am not a physicist. So all I can say is let's think about some other realities. Let your mind go. Let your mind be creative. And by the way, if you're not doing something creative and you're ill, that may be a part of your illness. You must create. We are human beings. And as human beings, we have the spark of divine consciousness within each of us. And that divine consciousness is a creator. So you have to be creating something in order to have health. And so if you look at the people that never create anything and they sit down and they watch their TV and they drink their beer and eat their Cheetos and they complain all day about their work, but they never change it, and the only thing they've ever created is children, and they barely pay attention to them, then you can kind of start to see why they're unhappy, why they're not going anywhere, why they're ill, why they're supporting the pharmaceutical cartel. I was going to say something else, but I'm trying to be nice. So, it's your choice. You know, it all comes down to choice. And even for those who are quadriplegics, and I say this again, you know, from the experience of meeting Clarence, those of you that are loyal listeners, all five of you or seven of you, you know, you've heard me talk about Clarence, the man who had MS, who just laid in his bed all day and all night and could not even move his head and was blind. And all he did all day was pray for the children of the world and think good thoughts for them. And I was so impressed, because here's a man who could not move, and most of us would look at a guy like that and think, oh boy, I really wouldn't want to be in that position. Well, if you're an incredible spirit and you know that, that position is okay, because you understand something that those of us that have able bodies and able minds have kind of forgotten, and that's that there's more to life than we tend to think. And you know, we're so busy being human doings, all of us. And what's the answer? Run off to a monastery? Well, that's kind of a cop-out. You can do that, and maybe you need to do that for a little while if your life is totally crazy, if you're making a huge shift. But sometimes all you have to do is move to another city and just really actively work on changing to be the being that you wish to be, the being that you know deep inside that you really are. We all have these gifts, people. We have incredible gifts, and sometimes we don't even know what they are. You know, and you just kind of follow along, and you do the things that you seem to be talented at, or you keep searching for what you might be talented at, and you bring pleasure and you bring joy to other people through your gifts and abilities. And then at one point, all of a sudden, things kind of click, and you go, oh, now I see why my life is this way. It's kind of like, you know, when you're going through university, usually the first 2 years, everybody complains because you're taking all these things. They're forcing you to take these things and pay your good money out, and it makes no sense. None of it is connected. And then you get to the very last month of the last year of your 4 years, and you go, oh, now I get it. Because suddenly, all of that comes together, and you find that you have not been wasting your time, and that everything that you learned in those seemingly disconnected classes actually is what you needed to start on your journey with whatever your degree is. And that happens in master's and doctoral programs, too. You know, the first couple of years, you're going, oh, my God. Why am I paying all this money? And, you know, you pay more for master's and doctoral programs than you do for baccalaureate programs. So there you are going, huh, $1,600 a class. What is this garbage? And then you get to the last month and you go, oh, I get it. Yeah, now I see why I had to have that, because now it's all meshing. And if you apply that to your life, if you haven't had that experience, you know, with higher education, that's okay. Just think about it and apply it to your life and see that every single thing that you've done in your entire life has led you to where you are now. And you had to do every one of those nasty little nitpicky things in order to be who you are, in order to take advantage of the timeline that you're in right now. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I had no idea that this is where I was going. And it just was amazing to me how all of this stuff kind of worked out. And I know you've heard me talk about before about how the Andromedans were in my house every day. I'd wake up and they'd be there. They were talking to me. Yes, I was hearing voices. And it was just really funny because all this stuff was going on until I put the room together, and then everybody vanished. And I went, hey, I feel cheated. What happened? Where'd my Andromedans go? Where are all the tall golden beings that used to talk to me every day? They just kind of like disappeared. But they brought me to that state where I needed to be in order to take the next step. And as soon as I saw what that next step was, I went, hot damn, and I jumped. And I'm about set to jump again. And I can tell you, it is a thrilling journey. There are so many things going on in my life. And I look back at least once a year on my birthday. I spend 5 days kind of in seclusion. And I look back at my life and I look forward. And I get clarity on what I need and what I came to do. And I can tell you, those look backs are really interesting. And from this vantage point, being in my 50s, I look back and I go, wow, I had no idea that I was ever going to be in this spot at this time doing this. No clue. And everything that I did, though, led up to this. And I'm not talking about just the radio show. I'm talking about, you know, being the naturopathic physician and being a hands-on healer and, you know, all of the other spiritual things that I've done. It's all come together now. It took me over 50 years, and it took me a lot of trials and tribulations and injuries and illnesses and all of those things. But you know what? I wouldn't take back even 1 minute of any of that because it was all necessary. So if there are listeners out there right now that are having difficulty with their lives, I hope that this will offer you some comfort and that you can maybe see that whatever you're going through now has a direct bearing on everything that you've been through and will have something to do with what you're about to go through. And maybe you're like me, where you're kind of looking suspiciously up at the sky and going, God, you're really starting to worry me about what you're preparing me for. And I have to tell you, I've had many of those moments myself. And it's been amazing. So I hope that you can look back and see that your path, while it might have seemed diverse, might have seemed like you went into a couple of dead-end streets or blind alleys, maybe those things were there just to help you to be who you are now and get you ready for this great leap that we're going to go through. Now, I don't pretend to know what's going to happen leading up to 2012. I've seen some visions. But the visions are all possibilities. And anyone who looks into the future will tell you it's just possibilities. Things can change in a moment. And they change depending on what all of us, each individual person, is thinking and feeling. And yes, you are important. One voice, one thought is important. The most important thing you can do is be at peace within your heart. To let your mind be at peace and to trust in that overall plan. And maybe some of you are sitting there going, I don't know. I trusted and look what it got me. Here I am. Okay, that's good. Trust again. You know, one of my great blessings in life has been that I'm able to trust. It doesn't mean I don't have baggage. Everybody's got baggage. That I work through mine as quickly as I can, and I go on and I trust, and I'm a little wiser each time, a little more discerning each time, but I still trust. I look for the value in everything that happens, even the smallest things. Now, I don't overanalyze. I just kind of look at things and go, huh, isn't that interesting? I wonder what that means. And I wonder if that has some bearing on what I'm doing right now. And how does that apply to my life? So I can offer you great encouragement for that because I've been through the ringer myself. And every single thing that I've been through has taught me tremendous, tremendous wisdom. And it's helped me to be joyful now. So now, how many of you out there would like to be joyful now? Okay, so choose it. Choose it right now, in this moment. Choose joy. And then make your move to bring joy into your life, to practice it. Do something every day that's going to bring you joy. Doesn't have to be huge. Don't put it off because you think I need to have money or, you know, I need to have, you know, X amount of people come up and tell me I'm beautiful or I'm smart or I'm this or that. Don't put it like that. Look for something, some little thing that will bring you joy. It doesn't have to be huge. What about if you just help someone else to be joyful? How would that be? And you know, you can do it. It's not that difficult. Just start. And when you do that, you will find that there are things changing in your life. And if you practice that every single day, your life will get exactly where you want it to be and beyond. Keep your mind open and your heart open, so that you can accept the greater plan that's there for you, that you actually had a hand in, by the way. So I can tell you from my near-death experiences that we do plan this, and we have a whole council that sits down with us and helps us to plan what we're going to experience in this matrix. So don't go around blaming somebody else. The only one you can point the finger at is you. You planned it. And I know there's a lot of people that don't believe in that. I have people all the time tell me, oh, I don't believe in that. It's like, okay, well, you believe in gravity? You believe in electricity? You know, you don't have to believe in something or understand how it works to have it happen. And I've had enough near-death experiences that I got to see each time exactly what goes on. I said, okay, how about we do this next time? And then I get back in the body and go, oh, crap. Now what have I done? Because at that point, I still have the recollection of what I decided on. And you know, when you're in spirit, it's all easy. And then you get into the body, and you kind of forget how powerful you are. And then it becomes a little bit more difficult. But it's all fun. Enjoy it all. You know, it's not so much the destination, it is the journey. The journey is so important. Make sure you get some pleasure every day that really feeds your heart. And even those of you who are broke, go outside and stare at a tree. You know, go pet a dog or a cat, hopefully one that won't bite you. You know, do something that's going to bring you a moment of joy. And then start multiplying those moments every day. You will find yourself getting healthier. You will definitely be happier. And you'll have a whole new experience in your life. And I can tell you, you know, I practice this myself because I get down just like everybody else does. You know, I'm a human being. Now, I don't get down quite as much, I guess, because I've, you know, at least had enough experiences to know that it passes. But one of the things that I used to do when I was in med school and felt really terrible, that was after my poisoning, I was barely alive. And I had days when I looked in the mirror and I did not look human to me. I mean, my eyes were kind of weird and it was all, you know, because my brain was kind of offline. But there were days I looked in the mirror, I said, oh my God, I look so ugly. And so I would try really hard. I'd put on makeup, I'd fix my hair, I'd put on a really nice dress, put on nice jewelry, and then I'd go into the clinic just feeling like crap. But I would smile, you know, and I'd ask people how they were, and I would do whatever I could to help them. And within about a half an hour, people would be complimenting me and telling me I looked great and all this stuff and asking me why I was dressed up and telling me how wonderful I looked and you know, just all these things. And all of a sudden, I'd start to feel better. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting? I feel like crap. And I looked in the mirror, and I looked like crap. Yeah. And I'm not talking about being vain. I'm just saying, you know, when you look in the mirror and you look strange, you kind of go, huh, I don't know what to do about that. But it's all a matter of perception. And then I would go and I would look in the mirror and I'd go, wow, I do look good. And I'm smiling. So you see, you can change your life. You just have to get a little bit more calculated about it. You know, sometimes you have to do things to fool yourself because you know how you work. Like I've done things where I said, no, I know I have to do it this way because I know me. You know, I'll know what I'm going to try to do to get out of this. And people laugh. And they think I'm kidding. And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding. I know me. I know me really well by now. I've observed me in all kinds of situations. And I know how I tend to be. So start looking at yourself and seeing what you can change to bring greater happiness and health into your life. Remember, it is up to you. And I hope that this has really helped you. I hope that you haven't missed our guest speaker too much. Maybe we can get her on next week. I don't know what happened with her. But, again, this program is for you. And I so appreciate all of you who listen. And thank you so much for your comments. I love your kind comments. And I'm always glad to help whenever I can. So thank you for listening. And remember, September 22nd and September 23rd, the Rainbow Awareness Alternative Healing Arts Fundraiser is going to be happening in Portland, Oregon at 8725 Northeast Broadway Street. And you can contact Judy Marin, 503-288-8369, or her email is j_maron@msn.com. And maybe we can get her on next week to talk about this. So I hope that this little impromptu thing today has helped some of you out there. It would be great if it helped all of you. And as always, I appreciate your listenership. And I hope that you will be happy and be healthy. And listen in again next week. Thank you so much.